The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Are assurance and believing one and the same? Or is assurance a result of believing? These questions are related to the different positions within free grace theology, and we're going to talk about them today. Thank you for joining us on Grace in Focus. This is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Find us on the web at faithalone.org. On our website, there are hundreds of free articles and a store where you can buy our books, including Bob Wilkins' latest book, The Gospel is Still Under Siege. There's also information about our online seminary, our conference ministry, and our blogs. Oh, and don't forget our free magazine, also called Grace in Focus. Find it all at faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here's Bob Wilkin along with David Renfro.
Zach has an interesting question about assurance.
I love questions about assurance.
And he goes, "Hey guys, just wondering, assurance is usually defined as what happens when someone believes. But I've been thinking, isn't assurance really the same thing as believing? And then, isn't being persuaded or convinced the same thing as being assured? Could you define belief and assurance as one and the same, or is assurance always a result of belief?"
Okay, so this is a big question, David, that comes up a lot in free grace circles.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's led to two kind of camps. Mike Lee is called the one camp, focused free grace. He's called the other view, flexible free grace.
Interesting.
And he doesn't mean something negative by flexible free grace. He just means they are not as stringent as the people in the focus camp, because we in the focus camp will say, in order to be born again, a person must believe in Jesus for what he promises, which is everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
And as Dr. Ryrie, one of our seminary professors, do you remember him saying this? If everlasting life could be lost, well, then it's got the wrong name.
That's right.
And there are people in free grace circles that say no, that believing in Jesus is what gives us everlasting life. And then once we believe in Jesus, we have the possibility of having assurance. But assurance is something which is a sanctification issue. It could occur at the moment of faith, but it often occurs hours or days or months or even years after a person is born again. And so people in the flexible free grace camp will say, well, I myself know that I have everlasting life by faith in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I tell other people. But if I find someone who believes in Jesus and lacks assurance, well, then I tell them they're born again even though they lack assurance, and I try to help them gain assurance. A friend of mine wrote an article in which he said more or less what Zach is saying, that in John 3:16, for example, the last part of the verse is not what we need to believe in order to be saved. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him
Shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Right?
Yeah.
So the guarantee is never perish, but right now I have everlasting life. And what my friend has written is that the part about not perishing and everlasting life is the result of believing in him, but it's not what we believe in him for. Basically, in his view, we believe that Jesus has been sent from God, that Jesus is the Savior, but I don't really need to know that he saves me, or I don't need to know he saves me forever. I think my friend would probably say, I need to believe he saved me at least for now. But the question Zach is asking is an excellent one, because what the Lord says repeatedly in the fourth gospel is that he who believes in me has everlasting life, right? John 6:47.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all the way through John's gospel. For example, in John 5:39-40, he's talking to legalistic Jews, and he says, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me, but you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. And coming to Jesus in John's gospel is a figure for believing in him, mm-hmm. John 6:35. Mm-hmm. And so he's saying, look, you're really not willing to come to me to believe in me in order to have life. And so we need to believe in him for that life. And another example is when Jesus talks to Martha in John 11:25-27, and he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Mm-hmm. The one who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. That's the promise of glorification. And he who lives in me shall never die. That's the promise of eternal security. Mm-hmm. And then he says, do you believe this?
Do you believe this?
And twice he said, the one who believes in me, he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Mm-hmm. And he who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he says, do you believe this? And then she says, yes, Lord, I believe. I believe that. Mm-hmm. You are the Christ, the Son of God that's right. coming into the world. So the point is, you really can't believe John 3:16 or John 5:24, or going to the apostles, you can't believe Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, or Ephesians 2:8-9, by grace mm-hmm. you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You can't believe those things without believing that you are now secure forever.
So you're saying that, in a way, assurance is built in. The way Jesus did say it, he who believes has everlasting life. So the concept of assurance is built in or implied
yes.
in there?
It's coming. It'll be here before you know it. What am I talking about? The Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference 2025, May 19th through 22nd at Camp Copus, an absolutely beautiful campground in North Texas, right on the lake with lots of recreation, great food, a great place to stay, wonderful fellowship, and wonderful Free Grace Bible teaching. Information and online registration now at faithalone.org/events. First-timers waive registration fees. faithalone.org/events.
We were talking during the break, you brought out how the underlying sense of pistuo, the word for believe, is to be convinced or to be persuaded, right?
Yeah.
You need to be persuaded of something. Let's talk about assurance of mathematics. If I'm assured that 2 plus 2 is 4, I believe 2 plus 2 is 4, mm-hmm. right? You can't separate assurance from belief there. They're both the same. When we talk about assurance of everlasting life, basically what we're saying is, I believe I have everlasting life. Mm-hmm. So then the question is, why do I believe I have everlasting life? If my reason for believing I have everlasting life is anything other than the trustworthiness of Jesus to mm-hmm. fulfill his promise, then I don't really have assurance.
I think the idea of everlasting life in itself implies assurance.
Right.
Everlasting means what?
Yeah.
Everlasting.
Yeah.
So
the point that Zach is making is a good one. And Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:16, talking about his own experience, he says, I'm an example of those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Mm-hmm. We can't believe in him without believing in him for something. In other words, someone who says, I believe Jesus is God. Great. I believe he died on the cross for our sins. Great. I believe he rose from the dead. Great. So what do you have as a result of that? Nothing. Then you wouldn't be believing in Jesus.
Well, you are biblically correct. I mean,
those things are all right.
They're all correct, but they're not the content of the faith that gives you everlasting life.
Yeah. I have a friend, Diane Boring. She's been coming to our conference for 25 years or so. And Diane likes to say that all of those things maybe are somewhere on the target, but they're not the bullseye, right? The death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the deity of Christ, the miracles of Christ, all of those things are designed to lead me to the bullseye.
All of those things are evidence, convincing evidence.
Yes.
Why we should believe in him forever, because he will give it to us because he's God. You know, the John 11 passage,
yeah.
he's about to raise Lazarus from
right.
the dead, which means, you know, he said, you know, I'll give everlasting life.
Right. And to anyone who believes in me.
That's yeah. right. And so the idea there is to be persuaded that based on the evidence, many incidents in Jesus' life, that he is and will give everlasting life on the basis of belief plus nothing.
Right. I like the plus nothing part because there's a lot of people say, oh, yeah, you got to believe.
Right.
But you also got to obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way.
We're breaking into hymns.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Don't make me sing soprano, okay?
No. David can sing the deepest bass. I'm your father.
I'm your father, Luke.
The trust and obey song that says there's no other way to be happy in Jesus.
Yeah, it doesn't say to be saved.
No. And if it did say to be saved, it'd be a bad song.
It wouldn't be sung in the churches that I go to.
No, that's right. So I think that Zach is definitely on the right track. Assurance is the same as believing, but in a sense you can say, okay, it is the result. Everlasting life is the result of believing, and assurance that I have everlasting life is the result of believing the promise of everlasting life.
Right. I think my like we talked about before we started, is the answer is both.
Or yes to all of these
yes.
things. Yes, 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 yes. Because the thing about it is that believing is quite simple. It's simply being persuaded, being
right.
convinced, being assured.
Yes.
So if I'm assured that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, I am convinced or persuaded that the Bible is true, but that wouldn't give me everlasting life.
No.
That's just pointing me to the bullseye. And the bullseye, like you say, is all these evidences. Remember when the wise men come to Jerusalem and they say, where is the king of Jews to be born? And Herod consults with the Jewish leaders and they go, Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm.
They all knew Micah 5:2, right?
Sure.
Now, they didn't believe in Jesus when Jesus does come from Bethlehem and he comes on the scene. In fact, they're trying to kill him
right.
because he didn't fit their concept of Messiah.
Yeah.
In other words, they thought Messiah was going to overthrow Roman rule, and he certainly
was. He's coming back on a horse with armor, and he's going to destroy all of Israel's enemies.
And he sure wouldn't be saying, he who believes in me has everlasting life.
No, no. Uh-uh.
He would be pointing to the Torah, and he would be saying, he who keeps Torah has everlasting life.
Right.
And so as a result, because he didn't fit their pattern, they rejected him, but not all, right?
Right.
He came to his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name.
Right.
And so, yeah, Zach, great question. All right, and remember, David, what are we going to do?
Keep grace in focus.
I invite you to check out our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday 5-minute YouTube videos at YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. You will love the content and learn a lot. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Please make sure your question is as succinct and clear as possible. That would be a great big help. On our next episode, why do most people reject the gift of eternal life? Come back and join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.